Okay. So you were interned first of all during the 20s, but it's mostly your internment during the 40s.
I was interned in the 20s first.
Yeah.
I was captured up in Tipperary, and I was conveyed to Mountjoy, and we brought in the jail. And we slept in the cells for some time, but we were transferred in to the Curragh internment camp.
And then you were back in the Curragh then during the 40s, wasn't it?
Huh?
You were back in the Curragh during the 40s, yes?
In 1939.
Yeah. And had the camp
In 1939, I was at a funeral. Jack McNeely died in hunger strike. He was buried in Mayo. And on our way back, we heard that Tony Darcy died also in hunger strike. And we were held up on the way coming back in Mullingar. But the police left us walk around the place, and I saw a chance. I walked away off, and I got away for a good bit then. But some months after, again, I was captured down in Tipperary in Carrigans of Knocklofty. The Carrigan family, they were a noted Republican family always.
And so had the camp changed much?
Huh?
Had the camp changed much since you were first interned?
Well, it was much the same. As a matter of fact, now, for a time, it was very, very bad. In the morning, when they'd be bringing in the food, they had an agreement that they were getting what they call country butter, and you'd smell it coming in the gate. Because you couldn't eat it. It was terrible. And it continued that some time. And they'd cook the meat the night before. And there'd be a line on the inside beside the boiler. And in the morning they'd have to brush the flies off. It was terrible. And all the prisoners nearly suffered from what you call mine food poisoning. This thing. It would be terrible. But again, the prisoners decided to make a protest, and they burned the camp.
That was the fire in December of 1940, yes?
That was it, yeah.
Were you involved in setting fire to any of the huts?
In that, yes. First of all, there was a meeting held of all the hut leaders, and it was decided anyway to make a protest and to burn the camp. And I opposed it because I had seen what happened, and I knew it was the prisoners that suffered. But there was a courtman there anyway, and he made an awful lot of noise. And he took a lot of them with him. Some were never interned before. And it was decided the camp be burned. I made sure that my hut was burned. And the man that made all the noise didn't burn his hut at all.
Right.
As well as that, he disassociated himself from the men that burned their huts. He thought by doing that he'd have been released. But he had no chance, because there was something always against him. There's no doubt he was one of the men that killed Admiral Somerville, who was recruiting at the time. There were tough times in Ireland at the time. Money was scarce, food was scarce, and he was recruiting men for the Royal Navy, and he gave them a fiver and sent them off to get the uniform. And for decided to warn him, and four men set out from Cork, and they went and they met him, and when they were outlining what they wanted, he made a grab for one of the guns in one of the men's hands, and they shot him dead.
And then after the fire, when the military police were inspecting the huts, they found, when the military police were inspecting the huts after the fire, I believe they found a series of escape tunnels.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Had you been involved in digging any of the escape tunnels yourself?
The tunnel was all ready for, yeah. But the men, you see, the best men, there was only strictly the men of the hut knew about the tunnel and a few others, you know.
Yeah.
And the men, of course, that when that burned the hut, the whole lot. And the tunnel was ready out to the wire.
And would many men have escaped if the tunnels hadn't been discovered?
Probably none. The authorities knew that there was a tunnel in progress, and I'd say that the first man that would appear outside the wire would be killed.
So after the fire, there a riot broke out a few days later, and Barney Casey was shot. Barney Casey.
Barney Casey. The everything seemed to be going all right, you know.
Yeah.
We were back again in the hut, and we were marching up in order, you know, to the hut, and the military opened fire. One of the worst in him was, name was Devers now, and it was always alleged that he was the man that shot Barney Casey. There were some others wounded as well, you know, at the time. Bob Flanagan was, I'd say, he had a graze all his lifetime across his bullet shaved.
Yeah. And do you know exactly why they opened fire on the internees? Do you know why they opened fire on the internees?
Well, I'd say they wanted to punish the men for the burning of the, they hadn't enough done. But it certainly backfire on them, because when it was over and everything like that, and there was some prisoners anyway, after the burning in the ice house, and at the time anyway, there was some very bad publicity for the government. They appointed a new governor from the camp, Commandant Guiney, and Guiney had been an enemy of Dennis Guiney, that owned Cleary's, and he had a Kerry background, of course, and it must be said that when they went out and met Guiney, everything changed for the better.
And can you tell me more about the split that occurred in the camp? The split that occurred in the camp. Could you tell me more about that?
The what?
The split.
The split?
Yeah.
Yes. Ty Lynch, Cartman, with some others, repudiated the men that burned the huts, and decided anyway to expel them from the people in the hut. They done just that. In after years, there was another, it was a silly, There was a tomb in there. No, was it? I forget their name. One of them was after. He was in the. Oh, in the union in Dublin. And he done great work for workers and everything like that. But he wanted to start something in the camp in connection that when they'd go out, that they'd contest elections and all that, you know. And there was a lot of men opposed to it. There was another split again.
And when the camp split, a lot of people were on the Pierce Kelly side.
Huh?
A lot of people were on the side of a man called Pierce Kelly.
Huh? Pierce Kelly.
Yeah. Were you a supporter of his?
Our leader now at that period time was Liam Leddy. Yeah. Pierce Kelly, there was always some question mark against him.
Yeah.
By a lot of prisoners.
And did you ever read a copy of the Stephen Hayes Confession?
Huh? I did, yeah.
And what was your opinion of it?
Oh, it was absolutely true, of course.
Yeah?
There was no doubt about that.
Because there there
was a man, the man that got wounded in the from the north, Liam Rice. He was minding him and fell asleep, and he got captured. He got very badly wounded. Liam Rice was a grand philippe. As far as I know, he was from County Down.
And then. A man called Neil Gould.
Huh?
Do you remember a man called Neil Gould?
Oh,
who was
Neil
camp?
Bertrand Gould.
Exactly.
A plant.
Was he?
He was put into the camp with no other. There was nothing against him, only that he was a red, you know.
Yeah, he was a.
And he was put into the camp. For no other reason, only to split them in the camp.
Yeah.
And he succeeded to a small extent, and he never got a big following, but he got a following all right, maybe 20 or 30.
Yeah. And yeah. I understand that Pierce Kelly wrote to the bishop in Kildare.
Huh?
And Pierce Kelly wrote to the bishop in Kildare secretly and asked for Neil Gould to be removed from the camp. Pierce Kelly?
Yeah.
He asked the bishop, the local bishop, to have Neil Gould removed from the camp.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and did you support this?
Oh, God, yes. He should have been removed. He wasn't. He had no connection whatever with republicanism. And he was really a plant by the powers that be.
Okay.
To cause a split.
And so, what was the overall effect of internment on the IRA?
They came out at the camp, I say. They were very, very, very united for a long time, particularly in Kerry now and Cork. They held out great all the time. The IRA were very good. But then you had later internment again, and gradually they fell away.
And were many efforts made after internment to reorganise the IRA?
Right away. There was an officer board appointed. Kerryman was to be chief of staff, Paddy Fleming. He didn't last very long. Sometime later, there was a new element came into the IRA in the mid-50s. And it was decided among a certain crowd, the younger crowd, that all the older crowd should be dispensed with and have no say in everything. And they had appointed a crowd anyway to take over again the area, but they were rotten. One of them, I forget his name now, he was caught with a catch of arms in England. He done some jail there, and his wife and his son, the wife, she was well looked after, to be fair now, by then. When he came out, he said to the wife.
And so the reasons, the main reason given by De Valera and the Free State government for internment was a fear that the IRA would cooperate with the Nazis in Germany.
That's right, yes.
And was there ever a chance that the IRA would cooperate with Germany?
Well, I for one would. Yeah, anything against England. And I tell the majority of the people in the camp felt the same as I did.
Okay. Yeah. Was there ever a plan to cooperate? Was there ever a plan involving the Nazis?
They had some connections, all right, you know, but I don't like the word Nancy.
Yeah.
Because why is that? This Hitler, after the First World War, Germany was in disarray, and the German mark wasn't what the papers was into, you know. There's no doubt whatever. Hitler changed all that, and he built up Germany from the ruins and was getting on fine. And it must be said, the Spanish Civil War came then. They had two sides, both of them wrong. And you had a crowd in Germany, or in Ireland anyway. Both sides recruited some of the best volunteers. They were fighting on each side in the Spanish Civil War. The men they called communists were getting on top, and Germany and Italy was in large contingent of very trained soldiers, and they got on top in the Civil War in no time in Germany. Hitler was reviled after everything, but if there was no war, if the Second World War didn't take place, Hitler and Mussolini would be canonized for what they'd done, for to do away with the communists in Spain.
Okay. And so what do you think the future for the Republican movement in Ireland will be? What do you think the future holds for the Republican movement in Ireland?
It must be said, you have all kinds of so-called agreements. When I hear the Good Friday Agreement, it sickens me. It solves nothing until the people of the 32 counties of Ireland sit down without any interference from anyone and elect a parliament for the 32 counties. You'll have peace then, but not in then. In every generation that comes on, same as the past, you'll have people that will rise up against the injustice of partition. as it stands at present, 10% of the people of Ireland are holding down a large part of the northern side of our country for England. And until that ceases, you'll never have real peace in Ireland. You can't have two countries in Ireland. It is one.
Thank you very much.
Well, you know, was it the Commonwealth was only subscribing money and goods to the hierarchy in England.
Did you ever meet him?
Who?
De Valera. Did you ever meet him?
No.
No.
I'd say not.
No.
Although he made a famous speech. He made a famous speech one time in Tralee, and he gave a guarantee, first of all, that what he had to say, but he slated IRA for all he was worth. And the Irish press was on at the time, and in the following morning, the Irish press was burnt outside Killarney.
Yes.
It's thrown out in Burlington.
Do you think there's a possibility that the present people, like Adams and those, that they could end up in turning Republicans?
No doubt,
again?
Whatever, yes, about, yes, it.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adams is gone. Adams, in one way, maybe he surprised me to go, you know. But I was definitely not surprised about McGuinness at all. Yeah. McGuinness was always a milk and water man.